There's a new way to bet on things outside of sports with Kalshi. Maybe you have a thought on TikTok. Will Congress ban it or won't they? Will Taylor Swift's album be album of the year? What about Biden's approval rating or inflation and a whole lot more? You can trade futures on all of that and make money if you're correct. $20 bonus if you go to Kalshi.com/followthemoney, spelled K-A-L-S-H-I, and deposit $50. There is no guarantee of performance, and an investor could lose their entire investment, including fees. iHeartMedia does not recommend any investments. See further disclosures at Kalshi.com.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
DraftKings Sportsbook, official sports betting partner of the NFL, and this week new customers can bet $5 and pocket 200 in free bets instantly. Download the app and use code VSiN when you sign up. Got to be 21, available to play in select states. DraftKings.com for full details.
So for the new members of the Follow the Money and VSiN audience, we do this every single Wednesday. We call it Wednesdays with the Maestro. Mike Palm is the VP of where we broadcast this show from every single day, Circa Resort and Casino in downtown Las Vegas. Good morning, Michael. How are you today?
Good morning, Mitch. Good morning, Paul.
Hey, Mike.
Good morning, St. Johnsbury's, Vermont, and our loyal Nesson family. Crown Point, Indiana, Peekaboo Marquee, we see you. Truro, Nova Scotia, Rogers Sportsnet, home of the great Pacer, Sun Beach somewhere, and Brett McGrath. McKees Rocks, Pennsylvania, AT&T in the Pittsburgh area, and Visalia, California, Sunrise over Spectrum. We say good morning.
Okay, so we had, two winners in Circa Survivor. It was down to three going into the week. Now, the gentleman... And again, for those of you who don't know, it's $1,000 to get into the contest, right?
That's correct.
6,133 people got in. It was worth $6.1 plus million dollars. The gentleman who was on the Colts, he's been on VSiN Airwaves. He was last weekend. He's a Follow the Money viewer. He reached out to me yesterday. His name is Mike Barth. I've never talked to him before. I'm going to talk to him today. He's a great dude. I remember he reached out to me when my dog died in October.
Oh.
Really cool human being.
All right.
What was your reaction when you saw that Mike Barth, the enemy within, took the Colts?
I was very surprised because I thought they would all take the Jaguars and just chop it up. $2.1 million each, right? Or a little over $2 million. And then... But the options they had, the one guy that took the Jags, I don't think he had any other options. And he got into the house and he was sitting in a good shape then going into Sunday. Seahawks were a viable option for Jed, and he took them. But, you know, Barth had Minnesota.
Yeah.
And I thought if he was going to go off of Jags, he would go for Minnesota. And he was on with Brady and your good friend Mike Pritchard in studio with us on Saturday when the picks were revealed, and he went down the list. He said he didn't want to take the Jaguars because they're a young team and they'd never been in this spot before to make the playoffs, and he didn't want to take Minnesota because Minnesota would pull their starters in the second half and it would become an exhibition game. And so he thought Houston did not want to win that game, and so that the Colts would be a logical choice.
Yes. And that you would think the Texans would lose that game. But then how it played out, where it's 4th and 12, they pick it up. and then 4th and 20. Huh? Detective Mills off his back foot, throwing it up for grabs through the hands of the defender, touchdown. And here we come, Lovey for the win.
Well, I mean, just go for two, Lovey. You just can't make it.
Yeah, right.
take a knee.
Take a knee, right.
Or throw it out of the back of the end zone over their head.
Right.
Oh, God, I felt bad for the guy.
The whole thing here, leading up to that game.
I can't even understand what went on in Houston last week.
Oh, my God, there's no explanation for it.
If they're going to fire him, fire him. Would they think the interim would try to win the game?
Great point. With the meeting, too. Right.
Right.
What went on in the meeting? What was said in the meeting?
Right. Michael Lombardi told us on Monday there maybe really wasn't a meeting. Like, they could have had a meeting, but really didn't say anything to him. Like, you're not going to tell him that he's fired no matter what happens. But how do you not lay it out to him, like, at least tell him you can't win this game and we'll consider bringing you back, or we will bring you back? You could lie to him at that point.
Yeah, you fired him right after the game.
Yeah, you can't win that
game.
You
didn't even wait till Monday.
No,
absolutely. It tells you. Right, and as bad as it looked Sunday, it looks worse now when Ballard comes out. Hey, will you trade up from 4-1? I'll do whatever it takes. Guy's on a hot seat. Of course they'll make a move and try to get a quarterback. They need a quarterback. Craziness.
Now, it wasn't discussed on the contest show, but there were a lot of people in studio, including Intrepid reporter Dave Tooley, who covers all these contests.
Yeah.
And is a pretty well-known proxy in his own right. And he interviewed Mike Barth later throughout. I think Mike Barth made a lot of appearances, especially after the Colts lost. But Mike Barth did reveal that there was some sort of a deal made with the three contestants, although he said they're under an NDA, not to disclose the terms of it. So he doesn't come away with nothing. Let's put it that way. Yeah.
Okay, so none of those details will ever get out, probably will not become public knowledge. But he did make money. What did you make of, the whole idea of the chop again, where the three guys remaining agreed to some sort of a deal, as opposed to, you know what, I'm going to go with Jacksonville as my survivor play, but you know what, I can also take Tennessee plus 6.5 in the game, or I can go Seattle with my survivor play, and I can still take the Rams plus 6.5 on the other side.
Mitch, 3 for 3 now the last 2 years. Remember, 3 of the 5 were on the Chiefs, and the Broncos were getting 10 at home, middle hits. The middle hits with the Titans plus the points, and the middle hits with the Rams plus the points. Not only could you have won the $2 million, you could have made another $500,000 or $1 million hedging it that way.
Mm-hmm. Rather than going money line.
Right.
Correct.
You can win both bets.
When you have close to a touchdown, or last year, even the obvious example with the 10, I mean, you get so much. I did it with the, I had the Jacksonville ticket to win the South that I almost threw away. Why not take the 6 with the Titans? You hit it both ways. You know, I mean, I'd rather do it that way. Now, when it's 2.5, I don't know if you can be so precise and you're looking more at a money line.
That, for sure. That's a little
bit difficult. That's the one tough thing with Barth, too. He never was really in a good position either way. He couldn't even get a full field goal. And then you couldn't do much with the money line. And then they got down right away.
Yeah.
Ellinger with the interception. So I guess at one point in the fourth quarter, he could have got a pretty big money line. But how much could he get down at that point?
Yeah, because the Colts led by how many points?
They went 10 in the fourth quarter. Yeah.
After
being down 3 scores early.
I mean, let's put it this way here. If you're in Mike's position and you're on the Colts to split $6.1 million, and the team that you're fading for that title, if they lose the game, they get the number one pick in the draft and they control the board at that point, you're feeling pretty good up by 10. You got to feel really comfortable.
I wouldn't have felt good down 3 scores or 2 scores, though, because Ellinger. I mean, even if they're trying to lose, he's so bad. You know what I mean? But then once you got the lead and you got up 2 scores, you almost think what was meant to be. Now, one of his entries had the Vikings when they were down 33-0 to the Colts.
Oh,
that entry, it's not this one that made it to the final.
Yeah.
But remember, he had two late.
Yeah.
But that's one of his entries came back from that day on Christmas.
I believe he said he had the Saints in week 1, too. Right. Didn't he say that?
Oh, yes. Right off the bat, he thought, I'm done.
Yeah, that ticket's a ghost.
They were losing the whole game to Atlanta.
I know. Yeah. And they pulled out the miracle with Winston.
Yeah.
Oh, it's funny.
And so it came down to that. And also Circa Millions here, which is the weekly pick'em contest.
That
you get 5
incredible.
Games, gets a spread. How about that comes down to the final game. Two entries are tied. One entry has Green Bay -4.5, and the eventual winners had the Lions +4.5.
Ebot. So those were 4 guys from the Detroit metro area, and they sat the whole weekend with us, Saturday, Sunday. I was in and out because there were so many people there. So now they got down to it. They couldn't have finished worse than second the way they were calculating it. So they were going to get 500,000. But if Green Bay covers the 4.5, they get second, and they don't get anything in the quarter. If Detroit covers the 4.5, They win the whole million, plus they split $110,000. They split first and second in the quarter.
Wow.
So it's a $610,000. But here was the problem. The number had moved to 5.5. And they said, we're not laying 5.5 with Green Bay. It lands 5, and then we blow everything. I mean, the worst case, we win 500. We're just going to ride with Detroit. They rode. They didn't hedge at all.
At that point, that's the right move.
Well, they were off the number. But you knew that was going to happen if Seattle won that game, that number would go to 5.5 or 6.
Yeah. There's the incredible video, too, by the way.
Look at Derek. So happy. We got murdered on the game, but he was
yeah, I know. Right in the middle of it.
Very happy. You know, a lot of people had Detroit on the money line.
Sure.
That was not a good result for us.
Yeah.
Were they betting that more than the points?
Yes.
They were, huh?
Yes. If the Packers would have won by 3, we wouldn't have had as big a loser.
There's the champagne. That is awesome. Does Dan Campbell coach the game like that if they're in the winning?
No shot. How about that game in Minnesota earlier in the year?
54
yards. He just kept kicking field goals.
I know.
He got the lead. He got so conservative. I think it's totally different once they knew they couldn't make it.
Yeah. The 2nd and 17 lateral.
How about
going
that play?
For it twice.
Yeah. Shades of Boise State all over again.
The guts to do that. And then you go shotgun, quick pass on 4th and 2. To run the clock out.
And Goff played awfully well, too. Yeah, you got to give Goff
season.
A lot of credit.
Awesome.
Yes, he did. Yes,
fantastic
he did.
Year out of that kid.
Yeah.
Who and nobody Rogers. Wanted. No. He was a discard.
Good point.
Discarded.
Good point, yeah.
Are they the favorites in the North
gotta
next
be.
Year?
Have to be.
They will be.
Absolutely. No, you're right, though. I'm glad you said that. The guy's trying 54
no
yards.
Shot. Remember that in Minnesota?
Short.
In Minnesota?
They win the game. Yeah. I'm going to think about that one for a long, long time,
it's
he says.
Eat at me and tell them.
He does the same thing against the Jets weeks later.
They were running the ball at will on the Vikings. The whole thing running 6 yards, 7 yards, 4th and 1. Ah, let's line up from 54.
Sure. I like my chances here.
Danny boy.
And by the way, the game in Lambeau Sunday night, it was never even a thought to him. He's on the camera.
Wait,
he's
going off.
What do you think? Come on.
Oh, yeah.
Of course we're going to go for
quick,
it.
And go quick. And go quick. Get up to the line.
Which turned out great because Green Bay was never prepared.
Yeah.
Now, Green Bay. I mean, boy,
come on.
What do you think?
The play calling is really bad, though, isn't it?
Terrible.
So many wasted downs in that game, I thought.
How about the 4th down play at their own 30 when they do the end around that had no prayer of working?
Well, why even go there?
There's no totally.
It was like a 3-0 game, wasn't it?
Sure.
Were they going on their own 31?
I'm with you. I understand. They're giving you the quarterback sneak, by the way, too, Rodgers.
Yeah.
I mean, it would have been no problem to sneak and pick it up.
Yep.
I mean, it's...
Yeah.
And again, the 2nd time this year they play Detroit, they lived inside Detroit territory. Most of the games deep inside territory, and they just...
Remember the first game? They had first and goal 3 times and didn't score a point in the first half of the first game in Detroit.
I just love how it turned out and everything ended like that after he said, well, you can't lose to teams like that after they lost in Detroit. And they all remembered it and brought it up. Okay. I mean, that's great.
Yeah. And then Jamal Williams postgame, breaking down, can't talk, grandfather just died, and then just spins it within 2 seconds. This is the Lions you're talking about, huh? That was an all-time WWE performance out of him, I think.
Yeah. A little Bobby De Niro in him.
I think so.
Like Hard Knocks, too, when he was gathering the guys around. We're 3-13, man.
Yeah.
It's not us.
All right. It's Follow the Money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Mike Palm in studio, VP of Circa Sports in downtown Las Vegas. His 5 biggest gaffes of the previous week next. There's a new way to bet on things outside of sports with Kalshi. Maybe you have a thought on TikTok. Will Congress ban it or won't they? Will Taylor Swift's album be album of the year? What about Biden's approval rating or inflation and a whole lot more? You can trade futures on all of that and make money if you're correct. $20 bonus if you go to Kalshi.com/followthemoney, spelled K-A-L-S-H-I, and deposit $50. There is no guarantee of performance and an investor could lose their entire investment, including fees. iHeartMedia does not recommend any investments. See further disclosures at Kalshi.com.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico.
Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
With the start of the new year, Bet Rivers Online Sportsbook, your home, all the latest lines, odds, and boosts, great house specials, a ton of playoff props this weekend for Wild Card Weekend, phenomenal menu, and whether it's football, hockey, or basketball, they have you covered. Promotions like Tuesday Hockey First Goal Insurance, Sunday Football Parlay Insurance at Bet Rivers. It's a whole new game. Here we go.
No bias.
You will respect my authority.
No pulled punches.
Your wife cheated on you because you lost sight of who you are as a man, as a husband.
No agenda.
There is no fear in this dojo.
This is no hyperbole.
This is the best part of the week.
Here's the maestro, Mike Baum.
I am the smartest man.
All right, 2 weeks worth of stuff to pick from. Let's start with number five, going for Pembroke. When Brad Allen and Kirk Cousins get together for a football game, you know it's going to be fun. And the final minute of the first half of the Vikings-Bears game in Chicago on Sunday was indeed a real clown show. After the Bears had used all three of their timeouts, once the Vikings had marched into the red zone, Minnesota faced first and goal from the 6-yard line with 57 seconds left. Now, the Vikings had two timeouts remaining. They had to burn one early in the second quarter when Brad Allen's crew had ruled Alexander Mattison short of the goal line but had failed to reset the play clock. On first down, Dalvin Cook gained 1 yard to the 5. Minnesota then let 20 seconds run off the clock before using their second timeout with 25 seconds left. Then the Vikings ran Cook on second down again, this time losing a yard back to the 6. They used their final timeout with 20 seconds left. On third down, Cousins, finding no one open in the end zone, dumped the ball off to Cook in the middle of the field. He was tackled for no gain at the 6 with the clock running. The Vikings ran their field goal unit onto the field as time was ticking down. As Brad Allen's crew scrambled and had multiple footballs on the field, Greg Joseph hit a 24-yard field goal as time expired to give the Vikings a 19-6 halftime lead. But not so fast. A review initiated by the booth and conducted by Brad Allen revealed the Vikings had 12 men on the field. And the kick was erased.
Oh,
I guess we can forgive Kevin O'Connell for botching the final sequence. Who isn't afraid of giving Nathan Peterman the ball with 15 seconds left? Number four, the Trojan gift horse. USC, who stood just a victory over Utah in the Pac-12 championship game away from a college football playoff, instead found themselves taking on Tulane in the Cotton Bowl. The same Tulane who hadn't appeared in a major bowl game since the Great Depression. After Dennis Lynch's field goal with 4.5 minutes to go, the Trojans led 45-30. That's when Alex the Grinch, who stole the Cotton Bowl's defense, really showed up. It took Tulane just two plays to go 63 yards and cut the Trojan lead to 8. On the ensuing kickoff, USC wide receiver Mario Williams, who had returned just one kickoff all year, lunged at a ball heading into the end zone and knocked it out of bounds at the 1-yard line. That's when Lincoln Riley decided to take the ball out of the hands of his Heisman-winning quarterback and hand off to Austin Jones twice. The second time, Jones didn't get out of the end zone, and the safety brought the green wave to within 6, 45-39. Still, the Trojans needed just one stop to secure the bowl victory. Alas, they couldn't stop Tulane on 4th-and-6 or 4th-and-10. Tulane had the ball with no timeouts on their own 42 with 50 seconds to go. No problem. Quarterback Michael Pratt completed just 4 passes on the drive, but got the green wave into the end zone with 9 seconds left to overcome the men of Troy, 46-45. We all heard about SC was back this year. All I know is that if you gave John McKay or John Robinson or Pete Carroll or even Ted Tolner or Larry Smith a 15-point lead with 4 minutes to go, I think the results would have been a lot different. Number three, to taunt or not to taunt? That is the quandary. The Seahawks and Rams on Sunday in Seattle with their wild card hopes on the line. Seahawks kicker Jason Myers hit the right upright as time expired to send the game into overtime. After Geno Smith and the Seahawks went 3-and-out, the Rams took over on their own 26, needing just a field goal to end Seattle's playoff hopes. On the second play of the drive, Baker Mayfield had Van Jefferson wide open, streaking past midfield. Little Baker put all he could into the throw, but the giant lollipop hung up so long that Seahawks safety Quandre Diggs ran across the field and intercepted the pass. That's when Diggs found himself in a real quandary. Should he turn left and return the interception at least 20 yards into Rams territory? Or should he run straight out of bounds at his own 36 while holding the ball out in front of himself to taunt former teammate Bobby Wagner on the Rams sideline? Obvious choice. Somehow Craig Rolstadt's crew missed the taunting and the Seahawks started 30 yards out of field goal range, but they drove down the field behind Kenneth Walker's and Myers redeemed himself with a 32-yarder to win it 19-16. Number two, packing it in. Everything was on the line Sunday night in Green Bay as the Packers took on the Lions. First place in the Circa Millions. The final spot in the NFC playoffs. But most importantly, Matt LaFleur's incredible record of having never had a losing season. Green Bay led 16-13 midway through the fourth quarter when the Lions and Jared Goff drove into the red zone. On first and 10 from the Packers 11, Goff hit running back DeAndre Swift for a 2-yard gain to the 9. Swift fell awkwardly, and members of the Detroit medical staff rushed onto the field. As three members of their medical team were attempting to get to Swift, Packers linebacker Quay Walker pushed one of them. And then Packers defensive tackle Devontae Wyatt came up and bumped that same medical staffer from behind and obviously said something to him. Walker was flagged for unsportsmanlike conduct and ejected. The Lions got a first down at the Packers 4 and would punch it in three plays later to take a 2016 lead. That would be the final score, and the Packers were eliminated from the playoffs. But let's give a little more context to Quay Walker's actions. This wasn't the first time he hit an opposing staff member. He was ejected during his Sunday night football game in October in Buffalo for pushing a member of the Bills coaching staff. And his actions in Green Bay on Sunday night come just 6 days removed from the Bills medical staff resuscitating and saving DeMar Hamlin's life on Monday Night Football after he suffered a heart attack in Cincinnati. On Monday, Walker said, quote, "I let my emotions get the best of me." What emotions? He hates medical staffers? Yeah. He hates defenseless people? Quay Walker needs to be suspended to start next season. And number one, a bad day at the office. In the aftermath of Georgia's 65-7 destruction of TCU in the national title game, Ohio State must be thinking about what might have been. The Buckeyes led the Bulldogs 38-24 entering the fourth quarter of their Peach Bowl national semifinal matchup. After Georgia rallied to take a 42-41 lead with under a minute to go, Ohio State drove to the Georgia 31 with 24 seconds to go and two timeouts in their pocket. The ball was on the left hash mark. In three plays, Ryan Day failed to move the ball either forward or to the center of the field. On first down, they ran Dalen Hayden off tackle left for a loss of one. On second down, they threw a slant to the right hash that was incomplete. And on third down, Stroud was forced out of the pocket and had to throw the ball away. This left Noah Ruggles' pressure-packed kick off the left hash and from 50 yards out. It never had a chance as he hooked it badly. It is unforgivable that Ryan Day couldn't get the ball centered for Ruggles. None of the three plays were designed to bring the ball to the middle of the field. And Ohio State fans, well, they are left to tell their kids about 2014. And that is no hyperbole.
Very good.
Excellent. Great job.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Good writing. I cannot believe some of the penalties. The Walker, the 15-yard for messing with the ball on the field goal for money. The money badger. I mean, and then how about the roughing the punter call in the Seattle game?
Yeah.
That was enormous.
The Rams had three calls go against them.
They did.
They did in that game.
Yeah.
And I mean, I thought McVay really was trying to go out a winner there. You know, the Rams.
So did I.
I really did, because I think he's going to the booth.
I also think if Jalen Ramsey doesn't, like, lower.
That one, too.
Like
Come
that.
On.
But Geno Smith ran right into him.
Yeah.
But if do you really have to throw the flag on that, too?
No.
I don't think you had to.
No. Where's the taunting? Hey, but he holds the ball out and runs right to him.
Yeah.
I said, does he think the game's over? Did he think they scored and they had one more possession to get, you know, it's unbelievable. He had 25 yards in front of him of field if he turns it upfield.
Yeah. The biggest reason Ohio State lost the game is what? What you just said, or was there another reason why?
Well, I thought the biggest play of the game was when Kirby called the timeout on the fake punt. They lose the game if they convert that fake punt.
Agreed. I would also say Michael Harrison getting hurt. Mm. Marvin Harrison.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a killer. Because that kid was unstoppable in that game. But it's funny the way it works. I mean, we all, and Paulie said this on Monday or Tuesday, both days actually. We usually say this for the NFL, Mike, but you know, it's a week by week league.
It is.
Ohio State had Georgia dead and buried.
Sure, sure. And you know, again, blame Michigan. You want to be mad at somebody.
For sure.
I cannot believe that they didn't belong discussion. I mean, they're in a semifinal game and they win. It happens. No. Super Bowls, there's blowouts.
Of course.
It happens. You get fluke results.
No,
we know Georgia was the better team, obviously.
Of course.
But the final score, I mean, you saw it for years. The Super Bowl was never close when we were growing up.
Right.
Never.
Oh, no.
Right. Forget
no,
it.
No. It's the NFC. When we were, you know, when we were 12 through 20, the NFC would win every year by uh-huh. 3 or 4 touchdowns.
Didn't they go like on a 15-game winning streak or something like that in
incredible.
The Super Bowl?
It was incredible. Well, Denver was a sacrificial lamb a couple times.
That's right.
But, I mean, you had 49ers, Cowboys, the Giants, the Redskins. They were all really good coming through the 80s and into the early 90s.
Absolutely. What kind of a result was it for Georgia throttling TCU in the national title game? We'll ask Mike that next here on Follow the Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Get a $10 free bet when you sign up for First Bet, VSiN's preferred horse racing app. Use the code HORSE200 for the $10. Plus, get 100% match on the first deposit up to $200. Wagering at more than 300 tracks, AI-assisted picks. First Bet app's easiest way to bet on your favorite sport. Secure payments, great customer service, reliable website. Details at VSiN.com/horses. Sign up now.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We call today Wednesdays with the Maestro. Mike Palm is the VP of Circa Resort and Casino. He joins us every Wednesday morning. So what kind of a result was it for this book in particular for the Monday night national title game in college football?
Well, it wasn't terrific, Mitch. We could put it that way. Now, let's take the history of the number. 13.5 to 14, back to 13.5. On Sunday night when we were watching the Green Bay game, I think we might have been the only place in town at 12.
Mm-hmm.
Most places were at 12.5, and then here come Monday morning, and then 12.5, 13, 13.5, 14, 14.5. So, again, like the Ohio State game against Georgia, the day of the game, you take no bets on one side. What saved us was the indices. You know, these people bet in, like Zach White and these guys, that bet, they bet these indices by how many points a team will win.
Yeah.
Nobody had this margin of victory, right? Everybody's betting the 10 to 13, 14, to all those indices. So this was like a scoop of that pool.
Wow.
It was like over 34, which was
And nobody
ridiculous.
Was betting over 34?
No, of course not. Well, why would you think they were going to win by more than 34? You think TC was going to score some points.
But they were betting landing spots between like 20 and 25.
Yes.
And 20. Okay.
Yes. So that saved us a little bit on the game.
Okay.
The result overall was okay, though, the future book with Georgia winning, because not you know, people don't bet the favorites that often.
Now, I saw this. I had Georgia to cap off a couple of money line parlays, but I did not bet Georgia on its own on a money line. I did see on Twitter some big tickets that were, you know, guys around town waiting for that to get down to minus
$4. Yep.
Same thing here?
Well, at one time, you could lay $4 with Georgia at the Golden Nugget and take 440 with TCU.
I
10
saw
steps
that.
Away.
And that was at the exact same time
yes,
of the day.
Yes, correct. Correct. In
think,
the
think about that.
About an hour and a half before kickoff.
Yeah.
But yeah, I saw a lot of and guys I know, 20, 30K on Georgia at 4-1.
And they knew in the first quarter that that was not going to be a loser.
No.
They won. It was free money for them.
As much as I had a ticket to finish off a parlay with Georgia that somebody bet for me. Georgia to win the national title at -125. I didn't even take 13 with TCU. I just, if they lose, they lose. If they lose to this team, then so be it. And normally I would. There's just a heck of a middle there. But,
yeah, right.
You know.
Where did this, no one saw this coming. Everyone disrespected us before the season started. What? One guy said that people said, no one said you were going to lose 5 games.
Yeah.
I mean, what were they? The lowest they were ranked was 3rd?
Absurd.
These guys are really.
They said we would be 7-5.
Who said that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Come on.
I remember
they counted us out.
I remember going, this will be a throwback. I was in Detroit for the Seahawks-Steelers Super Bowl. And when both teams land, they eventually do, like the head coaches do, the initial press conference to begin the week. And both guys that year, it was Bill Cowers last year, and it was
Holmgren
for Seattle. Both got, nobody gave us a chance. Like, oh, really? So you were total long shot. Seattle, I think, was the one seed that year. Nobody gave either one of you a chance to get here. Great. We have true underdog stories from both the AFC and the NFC then. It was just, it was hilarious to you know, that's what they do. That's how they rile up the troops. Was it like, was the casino kind of dead by halftime? Did people give up on parties and stuff like that?
You know, we had a bigger crowd on Monday than we had on Sunday. We had more seats sold for the national championship game. It was a little bit surprising. So that, but the atmosphere, because people were drinking and eating and having fun, but obviously there was no tension to it at all.
Okay. What does the line move yesterday, or what did that line move tell you in the, anything at all with the Dolphins, Buccaneers? Most spots, again, went down to, I think I saw an 8.5, but 9, and now it's like 9, 9.5. Does that tip you off that we might see Tua somehow this week?
Well, I don't think it's Skylar Thompson love, is it? I can't imagine how they can play him.
How do you clear him? How does the doctor clear him? What are we doing? He's had three concussions.
I'm not sure.
One of them was 16 days ago.
You know, you do this in the wake of 2 weeks after DeMar Hamlin almost dying on the field. I mean, I don't know that another team, if I don't know if he plays another snap with Miami, if I were running Miami, or if another team could even sign him at this point. And I just think there's too great of a risk.
Yeah.
And even with him, what do you think your chances are? But I hope they don't play him for his sake.
Yes, I'm with you. We were talking during the break how strange this is that every game's a rematch, and some of them are round three. How bizarre this is.
Dallas, Tampa Bay. So the non-divisional ones. Dallas, Tampa Bay, that was the week one. Which was, what was game. That, 19-3?
Yeah.
Dallas couldn't do anything?
Correct, yeah.
The Blaine Gabbert game was week three. That's when I bet after week three. I bet Jacksonville. They killed the Chargers. Herbert ended up playing. They absolutely dominated them in at SoFi. And then you got these divisional rematches. We had the Giants in Minnesota, what, 3-4 weeks ago?
Yep.
That game was decided on a long field goal at the end. Of course, Seattle obviously has played San Francisco twice already. And Cincinnati's played Baltimore twice already. So, I mean, 6 out of 6, though. Yeah. Our rematches.
Yeah. Yeah, the Chase Daniel game.
Yeah, Chase. Was, I mean, that's, sorry.
Right.
Yeah.
That was so bizarre.
This went 3-7, 3-7, 3-7.
Yeah.
With the points.
Great call.
Yeah.
And they listed him as the starting Chase Daniel 45 minutes before the game.
Yeah.
At SoFi, he's the starting quarterback.
Yeah.
Here comes Herbert. Boom. 3-7.
Media was tweeting it out.
That was the first indication this year. Like, look, the NFL. Now you're in bed with a bunch of sports books.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You got to have some integrity. You can't allow this to happen.
They did this with Josh Allen in that game against the Vikings too. Nobody knows 30 minutes before the game.
That's
starting.
That's right.
Big move on Minnesota 90 minutes before, so cannot happen.
Ian Rappaport, NFL Network, tweeted out earlier this morning that it's going to be an uphill battle for Lamar Jackson to play this week. Mike Garofalo then said, Jackson has tried to do some work on the injured knee, hasn't felt right to this point, yet to practice since getting hurt, as the Ravens begin their practice week for the Bengals today. If he doesn't play in this game, where are you at with this point spread? What would you do with it?
It's got to go to at least 9, I would think. I mean, what did it close in the last week?
11.5.
Yeah.
Anthony Brown.
Maybe it's Anthony Brown. Maybe it's 10. I don't know how Baltimore gets to 13 though if he doesn't play. This Cincinnati defense is what nobody's talking about.
Okay.
It's the most underrated thing of this whole season. This is a better team than went to the Super Bowl last year.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the path might have been a little different. They beat the Raiders at home. Then they went and beat Tannehill with 3 interceptions and got a little bit of help from Andy Reid at the end of the first half when Kansas City botched that. But this path now here where it's probably going to go to Buffalo, go to Kansas City, might be a little bit tougher than last year. But this is a better team than last year.
I totally agree with that. And now it's picking up steam today that Atlanta could be the home spot for that the neutral site game. For
Atlanta.
The Atlanta. That's I hate it. I hate this idea.
Worse.
Where would you? Yeah, go
worse.
Ahead. Run it down.
First of all.
Yeah.
We have the testimony of the owner, Mark Davis, that Allegiant is a neutral site, even when the Raiders play there.
Yes, yes.
If it were me, I would put it in Miami. Because these are three outdoor teams, and you'll play where weather won't be a factor. You'll play outdoors on grass. I guess Allegiant, you have grass indoors. It's funny that Indianapolis is the dead center between those two teams, you know, geographically. But I think they have a big volleyball tournament there. Detroit ripped their field up already, so they couldn't play in Detroit. So you can't play in Denver. It's too much of an advantage to Kansas City, I think. But I really thought Las Vegas would be the and I know they've contacted the the folks out here to see if it was available.
Well,
so.
And from what I hear, the reaction from Buffalo fans is absolutely put it in Las Vegas. We'll travel.
How about Kansas City? They hit the whole stadium was red on Saturday. Yes, I turned on the TV. I said, what's wrong with this picture?
You know, you can tell me I'm an idiot. You can shoot this down.
I've never said that to you.
I thought outdoor spot like Lambeau, Soldier, or I even threw out, how about these huge college venues? Put it in Ann Arbor. That holds like 110,000. Put it at the Shoe in Columbus. That's somewhat neutral right there.
How about Neyland Stadium in Tennessee? They got 115,000
that's
or
fine.
Whatever there.
Yeah.
A little better weather.
Yeah, there you go. Okay.
In Neyland Stadium.
I know.
I'd like to see it outdoors, though. It's two outdoor teams. I would say three outdoors if Cincinnati was in the mix.
Because, honestly, that if it is Bills Chiefs and they're playing in a dome, don't you have to bump the total up?
Absolutely. I hate these domes. Didn't you think even, you know, SoFi, it's such a stale atmosphere for a national championship game. They should be played outdoors somewhere on grass, whether it's Miami, I don't know. You know, they used to play in Phoenix there all the time and outdoors in these college championship games. But, Atlanta, awful.
Yeah. Once again, we got to wake up Goodell. You know, the fans might need to know this, Roger. Can you make an announcement?
Right.
Where is this guy? I mean, this is unbelievable. How long are you going to wait on the announcement? Oh, lunacy. My God. I wouldn't mind seeing it outside, but I'm with you on the Bengals as well.
I think they should have played the second round of the game at a neutral, too.
Yes, because, I thought the same thing.
Because Cincinnati would have moved to the two seed if they won that game on Monday night.
This is who it impacts.
Exactly.
That's what I would have done.
I agree.
Absolutely. Visa now heard on Sports Map Radio across the country, including great radio stations like The Horn, 1260, 101.9, and 104.9 in Austin, Texas. Let's get weird. You're listening live to the best in sports betting news and info from the sports betting capital of the world in Las Vegas. Welcome to the family, and welcome, and thanks for joining Follow the Money.
Up next, our in-pocket plays, what we're betting tonight, and also a couple of other things. Mike has spent a lot of time in the poker room, the top five things he's witnessed, good or bad, at a table, and also, like, six casinos have been robbed in the last 2 months in Las Vegas. What the hell is going on? We'll ask him coming up on Follow the Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. There's a new way to bet on things outside of sports with Kalshi. Maybe you have a thought on TikTok. Will Congress ban it or won't they? Will Taylor Swift's album be album of the year? What about Biden's approval rating or inflation? And a whole lot more. You can trade futures on all of that and make money if you're correct. $20 bonus if you go to Kalshi.com/followthemoney, spelled K-A-L-S-H-I, and deposit $50. There is no guarantee of performance, and an investor could lose their entire investment, including fees. iHeartMedia does not recommend any investments. See further disclosures at Kalshi.com.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts. If you dare.
The guy has an algorithm to determine the winner of any given college basketball game.
Someone gives you 10,000 to 1 on anything. You take it. Take it.
I'll bet you $20 I can get you gambling before the end of the day.
No way.
I'll give you 3-1 odds.
Nope.
5-1.
Nope.
10-1.
You're
on. I'm with both gentlemen here as well. I mean, I think Cincinnati's better than they were last year. You have to love Burrow, how he's playing. I like Burrow's prop, by the way. No interception, minus 115. on Sunday. But who knows? Mike's right. Who knows where this line gets to? And it appears it's not going to happen for Lamar Jackson. Cincinnati laying 6.5, betted earlier in the week. And this incredible 13-1 ATS run. Defense playing well. And maybe a little cause for concern that Burrow hasn't gone off in the first two games. But I think they will win in advance and give Buffalo all they can handle in the next round. Also, a couple props. DraftKings, Geno Smith to throw an interception. What do you make it, sir?
Against the -175.
Yeah, okay, $1.60. How about first play of the game against the Rams? My God, Dak is $1.80.
Well, he's got 11 in 7 games, yeah, I believe,
right? It's 7 games in a row, whatever it is. Yeah. Wow.
By the way, I am seeing now 7.5 on the screen in this Bengals game. Yeah, looks like it's at points bet, and I'm seeing spots move to -115 or -120. A couple spots here in Las Vegas and a handful of spots across the country. So it's definitely drifting up to 7.5.
Okay. There you go with the Bengals.
Okay.
You're up, kid.
Yep. Today, my one concern is that it's a back-to-back for the Pistons, but they allowed 147 points last night to the 76ers. They play at home tonight. They're the best team in the NBA to the over on the year, 13-5-1. They take on a T-Wolves team that can get up and down as well. It's 230. I thought it would be in the mid-230s. I'm treading lightly, though, but I'm going to bet that one over. You can find a 229.5 out there right now, but the consensus pretty much is 230. I'll play that game over. And the pending play for me on Monday. And again, I've had this game circled for a long time. If it popped 3 or higher, I was taking the Buccaneers. I laid 20 cents, but took the 3 with the Buccaneers. Pretty much 2.5 everywhere now. I'm not a huge fan of this Cowboys team. And I think the 3 points, the thing is going to be close the entire time. So I'm taking Tommy Boy at home. There you go.
In Pocket, presented by Bet Rivers, your hometown book. Check out their daily specials posted after noon Eastern at BetRivers.com. Let's close strong here. I'm very interested to hear this because Mike has a long history and he spent a lot of time in the poker community as a player and a dealer and as a poker room manager as well. But we played this video earlier in the week. This guy locally in Las Vegas, he's eating salad with his fingers. And just looking around, hey, guys, how you doing? No care in the world. We're, you know, touching the cards, touching the chips. I mean, this is nutty what he's doing. I've never seen it before, number one. But number two, licking your fingers, eating a salad without silverware, and then going right back to playing.
You know what? I'm going to steal this move. It's like I'm going to start eating my Snickers with a knife and fork.
Startable.
Why not?
Yeah, there you go. What? Give me a list now. All your years with being in the poker community, strangest things you've seen, and you can take it any direction you want because a lot of these poker players are animals.
Oh, well, for sure. I put a few things together, the moments that stick out in my memory. I remember when I was working at the Borgata in Atlantic City, Jeremy Roenick used to come down and play. 15-30, 20-40 hold'em. This is before No Limit got big. And I don't know what happened at the table, but there was somebody that wanted to square off with him. They were sitting right next to each other, and they both got up. And I didn't want anything to happen, first of all, for Roenick, that he would. But what if this guy takes a swing at him? So I got in between them. Now, they're both quite a bit bigger than me. Uh-huh. And this guy kept yelling at me, I'll go to jail. I don't care. I'll go. I said, well, you will. Well, you want to go to jail over a 15-30 game? I said, you know who he is? He said, I'll go. But anyhow, calmer heads prevail. We moved him off the table. I couldn't believe the guy wanted to square up with Roenick.
My God.
It was, I mean.
Playing days for him or no?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, yes. This is 2003. So.
Holy cow.
I played in a game with a kid. He was a real hothead, and he was stuck. I used to work with him, and then he was stuck. He was so mad. We were playing 30-60 Omaha 8 or better. I think he was stuck like 4,000 or 5,000. So he got so mad. He used to carry a lot of money on him. He bought the whole tray from the dealer. He bought, this was in Joliet, Illinois. He goes, how much is in the tray? She's like, well, I don't know. He says, how much is in the tray? She's like, I don't know, 13,000. Give it to me, all of it. He stopped the game for 20 minutes for her because he was so mad. He just wanted to, you know, screw with the rest of us in this thing. So we all had to wait while he bought out the whole rack. I mean, it's outrageous, but this is what people
do. They actually allowed it to happen too?
Sure they did. When I was working at the MGM, when I first came out to town, there were some things. But there was a girl who was supposedly, she said, was dating Natron Means. So she comes and she's playing. This is, I worked graveyard then, 2 to 10. I think it was a Friday night. She shows up, it was 2, 3 in the morning, and she's playing in this 1-3 no limit game. And every time she won a pot, she would stand on her chair and lift her shirt up. And we kept the whole room with, you know, obviously. She was a nice looking lady. The whole room, and we kept telling, ma'am, you can't do this. You're causing a disruption. You're going to cause a... And she wouldn't stop. It got to the point where we finally asked her to leave. She got in a fight with the security guard. Metro came. She got arrested.
Oh, my God.
It probably happened half a dozen times.
What?
Whoa. Yeah.
The worst thing ever.
Pretty good player, though.
This was back at Harris in East Chicago. The player was eating pea soup at the... Speaking of people, he was eating pea soup at the tin. He was sitting in the one seat right next to the dealer. Dr. Raymond Blanco, I'm sure he's passed by now. He was an old man, and he keeps coughing.
He keeps
coughing. And I said, Ray, turn away from the table when you're coughing, right? He's coughing at the dealer, and he's eating this, he's eating this pea soup. Here it comes. You knew it was coming. All over her.
Oh, how traumatic.
All over her.
Oh, is that take the rest of the day off? Go home?
We cleaned up. You know, we had a long list. We had a long waiting list at the time.
What did David... What did David Baker tell us? Guy, he was clipping his toenails at the table?
I believe that was David Baker.
Oh, my God.
Can you imagine that?
They clean like this and this and this and clean their fingernail right on the table.
But clipping them and everything, and they're flying everywhere?
Yeah. People do it in an airplane. I mean,
well, yeah. Okay, one more.
That's a very good list. That's enough.
Good list. So you mentioned how busy it's been here this week. What's it like to work in this industry now? And are you on edge? And I know you got a tremendous staff and team here, but there's been 6 robberies in the last 2 months.
I think that 4 of them are the same person, from what we're hearing.
Okay.
The same MO and all this with the note and back and forth. The last one, where was it? The Bellagio got caught. I don't know. But the bad thing is now you're going to see the copycats. People are going to read this on the paper and see this on their phone and the internet, and also I can do it too.
Okay.
You know, with no escape plan. Their escape plan's a taxi or something. You know, and they hand over the note. Every cage has a panic button. I mean, somebody's going to press a button. Security's going to be alerted, you know, to the fact. There's I don't think, you know, in all of this there's been no violence, right? There's 6 robberies. There's no violence. Do they say I got a gun? You never see a gun, anything like that. People aren't that dumb to go away forever. I'm not really scared. You're more on alert about what your procedures are for your people if something should happen. And the most important thing is don't put your life in danger. Mm-hmm. When my father retired from St. Regis and it was Georgia Pacific, he worked for Loomis. You know, the armored car company.
Yeah, yeah. Oh.
3 days a week, he would do a Loomis truck, and then a couple days here and there, he would work in the bank and that. You know, and he had a gun and the bullet. He would never load the gun with the bullets. I said, they gave you the bullets. He said, well, it's not my money. He said, it's all insured. Why would I even put bullets in the gun? I'm not shooting anybody.
Yeah.
He said, you think I worked for 40 years to get killed for somebody else's money?
Wow. Oh, yeah. I know someone who used to do that in New York City.
Yeah.
And he said, it's better to be judged by 12 than carried by 6. Or what? That was his line. So he's like, huh? You want to go, Bobby? Yeah. Come on. He would. Wow. Very good, Mike.
It's actually, I can't really disagree with your dad.
Well, you used to say that. I see that.
Yeah. Somebody like, okay, that makes sense
to me. It's all insured, he used to say. Don't worry, it's all insured.
Yeah, yeah. What am I going to do? Get into a shootout?
Yeah.
Die over this?
He just did it for something to do. You know what I mean? He wanted to get out of the house.
Yeah, and the mailman, too.
Well.
Not watching the mailman feed the squirrels.
That was awful. He would sleep every day by his house. Yeah. Jack. Cardinals fan.
Anything that you like as of right now in the NFL this weekend?
I don't like a lot.
You don't like a lot?
I kind of like the Chargers, but who knows? That franchise is just... How many times did we watch Marty win 13 games and they couldn't kick a field goal at home to win a playoff game?
Sure.
They're just a snake-bitten franchise.
Yeah, they are.
So it's hard to bet on them. I was all set to take Dallas, and then I can't. Dak is just so flat-footed. He looks so bad. This team, if they can't get to the passer, they can't defend in the secondary. They can't hold up. So, you know, we'll see. I knew they'd isolate that to be Sunday night or Monday night, and they put it on Monday night.
Are you okay to tease it, once the Bengals hit 7.5, and I think that's probably coming at some point this morning, tease the Bengals down, but then who's the dance partner? Would it be Buccaneers up to 8.5? You don't have a lot of great teasers. No.
Why? Well, what about San Francisco?
Well, then you're teasing them down to 3.5, though.
Too much, huh? Maybe Buffalo. They can't play Tua. They cannot play Tua. They just cannot. Why would you do that? Why would the medical staff put their whole careers on the line? They're already in a bad spot. Plus that head coach.
And we'll find out more today on that. Thanks, Mike.
Thank you.
Good to see you.
B+.
That'll do it for us. If you miss any of the show, search Follow the Money wherever you get your podcast. Good luck tonight. There's a new way to bet on things outside of sports with CallSheet. Maybe you have a thought on TikTok. Will Congress ban it or won't they? Will Taylor Swift's album be album of the year? What about Biden's approval rating or inflation and a whole lot more? You can trade futures on all of that and make money if you're correct. $20 bonus if you go to CallSheet.com/followthemoney, spelled K-A-L-S-H-I, and deposit $50. There is no guarantee of performance and an investor could lose their entire investment, including fees. iHeartMedia does not recommend any investments. See further disclosures at callshe.com.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.